Last week, Pastor Jeff opened up. Will you kind of like just come in? Talking about there's this kingdom that God has set up. You're kind of in it, or you're not in it. And by definition, there's a kingdom of darkness and a kingdom of light. And you're in one or the other, and whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, you're in one or the other. So now we're going to kind of get a little bit deeper. Of course, talk about Jesus a bit and that kind of stuff. So let's just pretend for a moment that you guys are Christians. And it's, say, maybe like, I don't know, 100 years after Jesus has gone back to heaven. Okay. And somebody shows up. I'll be that person here. Hey, everybody, it's like church time. Guess what? I had an angel come to me last night. Woken up in the middle of the night. An angel come to me and told me that actually, although there's a God, we also kind of like gods too. And there's kind of like this God, you're above that person, they're above this person type thing. And Jesus actually had like a brother who was like also a son of God and different things. And so he's actually told us that I'm actually like a messenger of this to help. This is like new truth that he's revealing now. And actually you should be listening to me as I tell you all the things, like, that's what God told me, that I'm special, and I'm supposed to be telling you this. So what would you say to that? Again, hands up if you've got some comments on that. All right.
No.
No? Why?
No.
I had an angel come to me.
No.
As an angel, actual angel. By the way, these things that I'm mentioning are actual things people have said in history.
Oh.
Okay. Yes.
Also, I would have said that everyone's really special. It does, like, God could come to anyone. It's not like there's one special person.
Right. Right? Everybody's special? But I had an angel come and tell me this. How do you know that I'm not true? Yeah?
It doesn't really sound What's like it? An angel.
Okay. I'll come back to you later. Why?
Because angels would tell you you're just special. Other people are special too.
Okay. Why? How would you prove that? How would you say that? So I like what you're saying, but now how could you prove that? How could you prove that I'm wrong? Yeah.
Because God says that everyone's special. There's no one perfect special one in humans. So everyone's special. So an angel wouldn't say that because they believe in God too, and they follow God.
What are you basing your truth on? Like, what are you saying? Like, what I'm saying is actually contradictory to what I already know about what's true. So I'm agreeing with you, and now I'm kind of like getting at something here. So yeah, go ahead.
I would probably say to him, well, it's hard for me to believe him because I don't really think an angel would do that, because I don't think an angel would say something like that, because that's not even true.
Okay. We're all saying the same thing. We're all agreeing this is not true. How do you prove it? Like, based on what? Yeah. Okay, you're kind of saying I can't prove it because I'm just saying an angel did. That's probably something. Yeah, what else?
I would say that
you can't
be special
because
God is special.
Last one. No,
I'm going to
go on. Yeah.
My question is, it may not be an angel of God, but possibly an angel.
So I could have had an actual, legitimate, real experience. I believe these people did. But was it from God, or was it actually someone pretending to be like an angel? So what's the problem with what I said, when I said actually that we're all gods? Do you believe that?
No.
Why do you not believe that? Right? There's only one God. How do you know that? How's that true? Okay, now we're starting to get somewhere. Because it says it in the Bible. Now remember this. It's very important. What you see here, as our Bible here, back in the early church, they do not have, well, I guess in Jesus' time, they didn't have that part. They didn't have the New Testament. There was no Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John, those guys were real and living at the time, right? All they had was kind of the Old Testament. Then they recorded these guys' letters down, right? And then they had that kind of thing. Now, here's a question. What was special about the people, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, those guys that were writing this down. What was special about them? Yeah?
They were disciples.
Okay, which means they're disciples of Jesus, which means what? Actually, I'll just kind of, let me answer that. We can get back to question a second. Start with this first one here.
Oh, yeah.
Before I get into that, what we're doing today. So today, we're kind of covering a topic, and today we're going to something foundational, building a house, remember? Remember last week was the kingdom, and I think it was like
the permit,
right, to build. This one is going to be, so the kingdom was a paper, a landowner permit. This is the very first page, I think, or pretty close to your first page, okay? And the next one today is the early church. You can fill in the first word. There's the soil. Today we're talking about the soil.
Yep.
I thought we had here.
Where is it?
Okay, so find that a complete picture. Complete picture. So you're early there. Yep. And go to where it says early church. This is the soil. And it says here, it represents the people of the early church where God planted his teachings. So in a while, you're going to draw a picture that might look, you're going to draw your own unique house, okay? It might look something like this. Here would be an example. This is the one that Pastor Jeff kind of put together when he made it. You draw any picture you like, but keep in mind, you're going to be making and drawing a house. So right now, we're still kind of at the very basic, and you can just maybe put some stuff underneath that kind of represents like the ground, the soil, okay? And then we're going to start building the different aspects of the house. Okay, so here we go. Where was the ground of this? So this, what Pastor Jeff did is kind of drew something like that. There's this mound. It's going to have this house built on it.
I can't see
Go ahead and draw something like that near the bottom of your page, okay? Just so you've got room to actually draw a picture. And you're on this page here. I can pull this for 1 second. You're on a complete picture where it says complete picture, and you're drawing kind of right in that spot there, okay?
Yeah, the sidewalk.
Whatever you like. But just draw near the bottom because that way you'll have room for the house. Okay. Let's go on. You can draw the soil later, but let's get into the thing today. So here are the apostles, okay? There's something special about the apostles. And that is, they actually walked with Jesus. Or more importantly, if you're talking like in a courtroom, they were eyewitnesses. These are people that didn't talk about something they heard somebody else talk about. It wasn't something they read in a book. It wasn't a story they heard or a movie they watched. But they didn't have movies back then. They actually saw and heard the actual person of Jesus themselves. And most of them died martyrs. A little weird word to spell there. M-A-R-T-Y-R-S. Does anybody, hands up, know what a martyr means? Yes.
Like when someone kills someone?
Close. Really close. Yep, they die. They're people that die. And what's special? Why are they called martyrs? They die because of what? Yeah.
They died.
There it is. You guys hear that? They died because something they believed in.
Oh.
Not just people that died and got killed. There's lots of people in life, you know, in history have done that. But they died because they would not stop believing something. There back then, they were, in fact, all the apostles, do you know how many of them died? Because someone said, deny Jesus that he existed. Deny that he rose from the dead. Say it's not true that he like ascended to heaven or that he did those miracles.
And they killed
themselves? Yes. And they didn't kill themselves, they got killed because they wouldn't say that wasn't true. They're like, no, I saw him with my own eyes. I saw that happen with my own eyes. Do you know how many of the 12 apostles actually died as martyrs?
11?
Yes, 11. All but one.
Yeah.
The apostle John died kind of an exile on an island. Every other one of them, Peter was crucified.
Upside down.
Other than were killed. Some I think, I forget the different ways, they are all
stone.
Killed.
One
I forget. So what does it mean? What's so special? Judith, that's what it's saying. What does it mean if someone dies for their faith and dies for what they believe in?
Do you think that person believes what they believed in pretty strongly?
Yeah.
And of course, they actually saw Jesus. If they say something to me, saying Pastor Jeff does not exist.
What?
We're going to kill you unless you say Pastor Jeff does not exist.
He exists.
He was in the room. I can't say that. Yeah, I know. I saw him. So that's how much the apostles believed and knew in Jesus, because they actually saw themselves. And why do we say, oh, they died as martyrs? Why is that important? Well, if it wasn't true, do you think they would have died for something that wasn't even true? That they just made up?
Oldness.
Yeah, that they made up?
No.
Why would they die for something they made up? It doesn't make sense. So what happened is, they provided oversight to many people and churches. Get your question in a second.
Just came into that because I can't.
Oh, I see. Sorry, yeah.
Thanks.
Okay. So they provided oversight to many people and churches, a special headquarters that became known as apostolic centers.
I've heard apostolic before.
Yeah.
My dad always did.
Yeah. So I'll tell you kind of what that looked like. Back then, is there a marker here? So let's check out this. I'm like the worst drawer on earth. Let's pretend.
Oh. I can see. I can do it.
It's all I've got. All I've got. You have to see it. Let's pretend this is kind of like the earth back then in terms of populated areas. And a church. Now, here's Jerusalem, right? And that's where Jesus lived and died around there. And then, boom, the church comes there. And then, like, churches start forming in lots of other cities. Someone goes traveling, tells people Jesus. And you start getting, like, churches and Christians in many different areas, you know? And so what they decided is, like, how do we kind of, like, help these people grow in their understanding of God and stuff? They're like, you know what? Hey, you apostle, you'll be in charge of that area, and you'll be in charge of that area, you'll be in charge of this area. And so they kind of divided the areas into, like, regions. And then different apostles that kind of like made sure. And then the apostles themselves, so there's kind of different cities that kind of this like a main center, you know? And then from there, they can touch base with all the different churches in that area and they can go visit them and make sure they're doing okay. And then of these areas in each one, they made sure the apostles themselves were all like talking to each other and still getting together. So the apostles themselves would still be connecting and stuff like that. And so I think on the next, on a page pretty soon, you'll kind of see what that looked like. So, on this page here, you can actually see, let me just make sure if this is like the next one or
green.
The, yeah, there you go. Do you guys have these green words down?
The what?
Okay, so there are a few different centers, Christian centers, apostolic centers that were kind of around there, and you just got to fill them in. So there's Antioch right here.
What? How do you spell? I can't even see.
Can you
that.
See those?
No.
I don't have a. I don't
know. You could come around.
One second. Let me just see if there's.
Yeah. How much?
Okay, I'll try it here, okay? So there's. Can you see if I do that?
Probably.
So there's Antioch. Okay. And that's this one right there. And then there's Jerusalem down here. Okay. And I'll try to spell that as well. Jerusalem. This one here is Rome. That's a pretty easy one. R-O-M-E. Rome. Yeah. Jerusalem is right there. Okay. So there's Rome, R-O-M-E.
Where is it?
Just pointed that blue thing. There's a nice fun one, Constantinople.
Constantinople.
The emperor, there's an emperor named Constantine. Very important Christian history. But anyway, Constantinople. So I will spell it up here. I'll ask Pastor Jeff if he can make this one bigger for next time. There's Constantinople pointing right down to there. And I think the last one that we didn't do, other than Rome, is Alexandria. Have you ever heard of that place? Okay, view the apostolic centers, places where the apostles would live, travel from, pastor churches, and so on.
Barnes & Noble belongs.
Yeah.
Where's the... Oh, it's in that bottom blue part.
Give me another 15, 20 seconds to write that in, and then we'll... Come on.
Where's Alexandria?
Alexandria is pointing kind of to this little blue thing right there. If you're curious what the dark blue and the other kind of greenish color stands for, the dark blue is how far Christianity had spread by about the year 300 AD.
Oh, no.
The whole rest of it now is where was that at 600 AD. Christianity spread like nothing ever before. So much so that Rome was threatened by it. They were like, what's happening here? And the funny thing is, they weren't trying to take over any land. They were just telling people Jesus. And he'd come to their hearts, and he'd build their kingdom in their hearts. And suddenly the actual kingdom of Rome were like, we got a problem here.
So they built the church?
Well, they built churches all along the way, kind of thing.
Oh.
That sense. So now, fast forward. If you didn't get that, you can copy that later. Get notes off someone. The apostles eventually died. Some of them, almost all of them, were martyred. Except for one.
Wait,
that page
117.
That's still in that same page. Go back to that same page we were on.
The early church.
Yep, early church page.
I forgot.
Just further down.
Yep. I forgot one word before, like, headquarters.
Apostolic sentence. Every one of these apostles. Every one of these apostles had people they were discipling themselves. Jesus discipled them, and he told them, go into all the world, make disciples. Do what I just did to you. And they go tell more people about Jesus. They had some very key leaders, guys like Clement, Irenaeus, a bunch of other names, that they were like direct like tutors or disciples of the apostles themselves. Before they died, they laid their hands on them, commissioning them to take over the work that we were doing, overseeing the churches, telling them the message that Jesus gave to us. Now, some of these men, like Paul or different places, they didn't see Jesus themselves, but they knew these apostles directly. And what does it say here? These men carried on the oversight ministry of the apostles and were soon called bishops. Okay?
My dad's
your dad's a bishop.
Okay.
Someone who's carrying on the same work as the original apostles. They didn't want to use the word apostle because the apostles were ones that had seen Jesus, but they were doing the same work and they called them bishops, which is another word for overseer. And these bishops, and then that person will get old and they're also going to die, and they lay hands on somebody else and say, continue the work, continue speaking the message we gave to you, and so on, okay? And so these people became known as the early church fathers. And that's the last one that you can fill in there if you haven't already, okay? So, next. Please turn to 2 Thessalonians 2:15. That's in the New Testament.
Oh,
Thessalonians 2:15. Got it? Okay, just wait for everybody else. Can you put your hand up once you've got it? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Just keep your hand up until you've got it.
What is it? on that. There it is.
What? 15 to what? Because it doesn't.
2 Thessalonians,
chapter 2, just verse 15, like just that one verse.
15.
Oh, I'm on 11.
You put your hands down for a second. Some people are still getting there. We'll just give them 20 seconds.
And I'm marking. I got it and I'm marking it.
Oh, get this. What the heck? I can't find it.
Did you find the table of contents? I might just have to go to it and look it up later. 2 Thessalonians 10:1,085. You're close. You're really close.
I just go
okay.
8 something.
Who would like to read that out loud, please? Yes, go ahead right here. Nice and loud for everybody here, okay?
Brothers, stand firm and hold to the teaching we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter.
All right. So,
that was the main sort of role or function of the bishops, and that was to pass on teachings that they received themselves. You can fill in teachings if you haven't already on your sheet, okay? So on your sheet, fill in teachings. Stand firm and hold the teachings we passed on to you.
Okay. Like, can you help me with the Bible? Like,
yeah. Okay. Well, I'll help you after. Okay. Remind me after it all.
Okay.
So teachings. That's what they're about. So I'm going to skip on there. The bishops were dedicated to protecting the teaching of the apostles. And they were the ones that put together certain letters written by the apostles themselves and put together and called the New Testament. Now, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, about the Bible. Like, how can we trust the Bible is true and all that kind of, how we know those letters are still the exact ones they wrote. It's amazing. You'll love it. We'll get to that in a second, okay? So hold up any questions on that, because we'll get there in a second. Okay, teachings and New Testament. And the New Testament is all the writings of the apostles.
Oh, dang.
Okay.
What?
Next. Because... because the early church fathers were trained, mentored, and sent by the apostles, we can explore some of their writings along with the Bible and clarify what the church actually looked like. Yeah. Yes.
We don't. I didn't get them to send in.
Okay. T-S-T-A-M-E-N-T. Okay?
Alright. So, the early church fathers somehow, because they made tons of copies back then, had all of the letters written down by the apostles that we have in the New Testament, and they had copies of them. They'd take like forever to like write them down and make copies, but they had them. And if you actually look at the writing of the early church fathers, I think I read somewhere that every single verse in the entire New Testament, every single verse is somewhere talked about by one of the church fathers, except for 11 verses. They quote the entire New Testament. They had access to it. Okay. Now here's an interesting thing.
Most
of the early church fathers also died as martyrs. Do you think they believed in this message of Jesus or not?
Yes.
Oh yeah. So much so that even though they risked being eaten alive by lions, burned alive, crucified, cut in half, tortured, brutal stuff, they would not deny Jesus. And in fact, they felt honored to do so. They're like, Jesus died for me, I'll die for him. They felt honored to do so. Actually been like a prayer of mine ever since I was young. I would love to die for Jesus. Here is the issue, which is what I started with today. Very soon, the early church fathers ran into problems. People began showing up saying, I have a vision.
Of course, I have a vision.
You do? What is that vision?
I believe that Maybe you could be the Lord.
Yes, I'm actually Jesus, born again.
There's Jesus.
Yes.
What do you guys
you
think?
You should bow down to me.
No. But why not?
Why not?
Because you can't do miracles. Do a miracle.
Some of them could. Do a little miracle thing. The demons have power too, right?
Yeah, a miracle.
You know why they didn't? They took the letters of the apostles and they said, the message you're talking to us about and what they just said, it is totally opposite to what we have written down by the people who saw Jesus themselves. They witnessed, they heard what he said, they saw him do things, and they wrote down things. What you're saying is absolutely opposite to what they're saying. That make sense?
No.
Okay. So, if I came and said, thanks for being honest, if I came and said, hey, you guys, I'm actually Jesus again, I've come again, and you should bow down and worship me, right? If I said that, if I said, you guys, I had a vision, or I had an angel come, I'm actually Jesus come again, and you guys should bow down to me, and what you do is you turn to the Bible and you say, no. In the book of Revelation, John had a vision, and Jesus is actually coming back at a certain time. He's not going to come back and look like you. It's not happening at all. And in fact, when Jesus ascended, there were angels that talked to the disciples right there and said, the same way you saw him go up is the same way he's come back down. And they go through verse after verse about what the apostles said and what they wrote down and said, what you're saying is absolutely opposite to what they wrote down and said. They saw Jesus, so you're lying. That's how they tell them you're lying, because we know what the apostles said. Yeah.
So
you
won't be old and wrinkly?
Who, Jesus? No. Yeah. I believe actually from what I understand from the Bible, he'll actually probably look just like in a human in perfect health.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect health. Okay? And that's how they refuted it. Now, it says here, they ran into problems with people interpreting the apostles' writings incorrectly, or kind of adding their own ideas, and they began to gather together for big meetings called councils to figure out what to do about it. Okay?
Why is there a picture of a phone?
Good question. I don't know. That's them.
Communication.
Getting together talking. Here's the thing. I am talking right now about, oh, no problem. I've got the Bible. Every one of us right here. How many of you could read? Hands up if you could read. All right. Back then, yeah, exactly. Back then, if I said to a group full of 20-something people, I said, how many of you can read? I want all of you to not put up your hand. That's how many could read. Back then, about in a group of 100 people, around one or two could read.
What?
Yeah. It was people were very literate. They didn't have the schooling and training we do now. And so people couldn't read. I couldn't go, yeah, we'll just read this Bible. It's right there. Read this New Testament. The apostles wrote it down. Have a read. You didn't have that because they couldn't even read. So now, can you see a problem with that?
Yeah.
You're teaching churches full of people who can't read. I can't give them a book. How do I tell them what the apostles said? Now, the people that were teaching, they were trained. Like the bishops, they were trained to make sure they could read. They could read the original letters and stuff like that. So you know what they did? They thought something brilliant. We need to find a way where we can teach people the basics of Christianity in a way that they can remember it. So when someone says something weird, like you should bow down and worship me or I'm Jesus come again or whatever, they'll know that's not true. You know what they came up with? They came up with something that people could easily memorize and say. So, we'll get there. Council. So the council was called, all the bishops, some of their leaders from all the churches would travel together, and they would discuss these false teachings that had to be addressed. Get together for the problem. People are saying that we're all gods. People are saying that the God of the Old Testament is Marcion, 85 AD. That the God of the Old Testament is different than the God of the New Testament. Marcionism, 135 AD, I think it is. And he's saying that whatever he says, that you should treat exactly the same like the apostles' letters. I mean, all this stuff. They realize, okay, we're going to come up together and we're going to make something called...
Reading.
No, because people couldn't read. Couldn't fix that. And, you couldn't print the Bible. It was edited by hand. Every single letter was copied down by hand.
Yeah. What did they use to read?
I don't
Squid oil? I'm not sure.
Yeah. Can you imagine, guys? They didn't have photocopiers or computers.
Yeah. No printing presses, nothing like that. No iPads, no computers, nothing. They could use feathers, quills, inks, scribes, and it took like years. Like years to do the whole thing. I mean, it's crazy. And they made 27,000 copies.
Wow.
Of New Testament. So what they did, like I was saying, is they came together and they write these things called creeds. These short, memorizable things they could teach people, and even if you couldn't read, it's okay. You'd have this creed memorized. Anyone know, hand up, of a famous creed? Yes?
The Apostles' Creed.
We're going to say it in a second. You must think of another creed that you've heard, very famous. There's also the Nicene Creed. Okay? We'll get to it in a second. So basically, they just captured the essential bits of Christianity. It can be used to help everyone identify. Hey, wait. You're lying. Or the word they used affectionately. Heretic. Anyway. So they also became very useful to teach new believers and those preparing for baptism.
What am I like for doing today?
All right. The most popular creed that developed and is still used today is called Nicene Creed.
Oh.
Okay. It actually was formed around 300 AD. A lot of churches, there are a lot of churches out there that actually use the Nicene Creed. We kind of hold the Apostles' Creed. A similar version of this creed actually developed a little bit earlier, in 120 AD, first kind of versions of it. But in many, many years, it morphed and bamped, and by 700 AD, the Apostles' Creed was pretty much fixed. And it didn't change. And we're using it as a guide for our class. And guess what? So exciting news. You guys are going to actually have to memorize this. Because you're going to stand at the end of this baptism class, you're going to stand in front of the church, and us along with you, and you're going to say this creed, even if you're not getting baptized, because you did this class, you stand in front of the church, and you're going to say the creed there with no notes in front of you, and you're going to say the creed memorized in front of the whole church for everybody. Does that sound exciting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. It does not sound very exciting.
And question. One second. Question.
I know better.
You do? Yeah, cool. So, you know what? Let us say it one time together. Can you turn back to the beginning of your book? I love this creed. It's so good. It's so good. It's so good. It's seriously so good. I'd like you to find the Apostles' Creed, beginning of your book. I'd like you to stand up out of reverence for all the people that died to get this to us. And let's say it together, nice and loud. Does anyone not have it?
I believe in God.
All right. Okay. Every week, you guys should be like studying this and going through memorizing the next little bit. There were a lot of guys last year in the class. They came back like this next week after everyone's seen it. They came back and they were like, had the whole thing memorized. Wow. So I think you guys could probably do that. It's not very long. Ready? Here we go. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again from the dead. And he ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, I did it without
power.
I did it.
Okay.
Seriously. Because he's
saying. So.
No, I was about to say.
So what they would do is they would take people like yourself. I want to become a Christian. I want to get baptized. And they'd say, okay, here is kind of the basics of Christianity. They'd teach you this creed. You'd be able to say it and memorize it by heart. Couldn't read, but they could hear, you know? And they would, like, listen to it, say it, boom, and they've got it. And now they've got the basic teaching of the faith. And then they get baptized. And that was how they did it. Cool?
Yep.
All right.
But with this, it's more complicated.
That's like, what's that?
With this, it's more complicated.
Yeah, this now, we're kind of giving you a whole lot more. We could do it. We could just do it that small and simple. But I think you guys, there's some people that get so much out of these classes, and you want so much more, you know?
Yeah.
So, we're going to go on now, the second half of today, and we're going to talk about the Bible. How do you know the Bible's true? How can you trust it? How do we know that it hasn't changed over the years? But before we do that, I'd like you all to stand up. I'd like you to form two rows and a standing where you can actually, if you reach out, you can almost grab the person's shoulders ahead of you. So make one line here, all facing that way. Everybody face that way. And I want you to touch it. You just put your hands on the person's shoulders in front of you, okay?
Yeah.
Like this. Okay, got it? And now, we've been sitting for a little while, we're getting a little tired. So give that person a nice, gentle back rub. Just a shoulder rub. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so good. Yeah.
You're hurting me.
Just make them relax. Oh, yeah. And now, put your hands down, turn and face, and do it for the other person. Oh, yeah. Oh, and make some. Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah. Exactly, just like that. The funnest part I have with that thing is when somebody decided to like just go into town. They're like, argh! And they just dig in, and then I say, and now turn around. They're like, oh no. They turn around, the other guy just gives it right back, but way worse kind of thing, you know? That's awesome. Okay, so here's this Bible. And of course, the question is, how do I... These are copies of copies of copies. How do we know that this was actually what the apostles said? You know what I mean? Like, how do we actually know? Or the Old Testament, is that when Moses really... How do we know that we can trust in these letters and in the Bible? And that's what we're going to cover today.
Because it's the Bible.
How do we know anything about God? Okay. Turn to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1.
Hebrews chapter 1.
Verses 1 and 2.
14:07.
What's that?
14:07.
So past it. So past it. It's like Bethel, hated. I think it's been to Bethel.
Does anybody need help finding it?
Anybody stuck? Hey, Judah, give it Bible.
It's
Go ahead and read it nice and loud for everybody to hear it. Follow just the first two verses of the letter to the Hebrews.
In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets had many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom the appointment here are all things.
Yep.
And through whom also he made the universe.
Awesome. Good job. Great. You can write it down here.
Hebrews 1:1-2. God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets.
Yep, yep. Questions?
Spoke.
It's after spoke. Mm. There's an up there.
Okay. All right. So back then, God spoke through the prophets, but these last days, he spoke to us by the Son. Next section. We can know things for sure because God spoke to us and revealed himself to us. People make up all kinds of crazy ideas about God, but we know they're not true because God revealed to us what he is like. Does anyone know of any kind of, like, what are some... Talk to anybody on the street. Not Christian, necessarily. What are some ideas about God that you kind of know
they
that the
no
world
idea.
Thinks? What's that?
Some people have no idea about
God. Some people have no idea about God. Yeah, what are some other ideas about God? That's kind of... You hear in movies, or you're hearing whatever. Yeah?
Some movies, they say God is bad.
Say God is bad. Are you going to say? You're going to say that? Yeah. Have you ever heard one where God doesn't exist? Ever heard that?
Yeah.
There's no God. There is no God. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Or were you going to say one? No? Oh. Yeah. Right. Yep. Here's some ideas, too. That God is in everything, everyone. He's everywhere. That's a big one. There are many gods, and every one of them all eventually lead to God. Buddha, Jesus, Muhammad. No worries. They'll all get you to God.
Good love.
Michael Jackson. They all lead to God. A prevalent one in nowadays is whatever works for you, whatever you believe and it kind of works for you, that's truth. That's true. It doesn't matter. There's no absolute. This is right and this is wrong. If it works for you, it's good. So, he first spoke to us. Now back on your sheet again. Through prophets. And then he spoke to us through his son, Jesus. The greatest revelation of God. God actually in flesh as a human walking among us. Perfect reflection of God. We're going to talk more about Jesus.
Yay.
In another class.
Aww.
Yeah. Okay, but all of these prophets, can some people actually name some of the prophets? Hand up again. Who are some prophets in the Old Testament that God spoke to and then they told the people? Yep. Moses. Who are some others? Yep. What's that? Mary. Yeah, I mean, God spoke to her. It's true. I would probably classify as a prophet, but God surely did speak to her. Yeah.
David
would have been... Yeah, he might have been a prophet, actually. Prophet and a king. Yeah. Yeah. Someone there? Hmm? Was there another one? There's Noah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Joel, Obadiah. This goes on. And all of these guys that God spoke to wrote down what God told them. And they wrote it down. And that made up the Bible. They're just simply a collection of actual guys, actual people, who wrote down the story of what God told them. And they got kind of collected and put into a Bible. Okay. Now we get into the fun stuff.
Yeah!
Fun stuff. Question is this. Is the Bible reliable? You see, so turn in your sheet, or your Bible, sorry, to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter, it's like a race. You guys are like, I'm on it.
What?
2
Peter?
2 Peter chapter 1.
Is that in the New Testament?
Yes, New Testament.
2 Peter what?
2 Peter what? 2 Peter 14,
chapter 1. 14,
and then verses, I think, what does your sheet say verses?
16:21.
14:39.
16:21.
Almost like a breath.
2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 16 and 21.
It's Andy. Andy,
right? So, nice and loud if you can, and listen up.
We did not follow clearly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of him. For he received honor and glory in God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is my Son, who I love, with him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets and more certain. We have the word of the prophets made more certain. And you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts.
Cool.
Above all, wait, is that it?
Is it 21 yet? Sorry, where are we at? Go ahead and finish up if it's not first 21 yet.
So above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Check that out. Here's a summary.
Really important. Write down the word majesty, and then I'll kind of just tell you what Peter was writing in that letter.
Apostle Peter, a man who was a fisherman. Jesus one day, actually his brother Andrew, had met Jesus, came and found Peter, and come and say, "Come see this man." Peter stopped fishing and followed Jesus for the rest of his life. Okay, very good story. So Peter said this, as far as there could be apostles, he's not only apostles, we were eyewitnesses. We saw it with our own eyes. We saw God in the flesh in Jesus. Miracles told us the truth. In the Old Testament, the very last verses that I was reading, they did not speak on their own. They didn't make up these words. They spoke as God sort of gave the words to them by the Holy Spirit. So they were speaking these words, the Holy Spirit helping them speak. Okay? So that's kind of what that says. Now, the New Testament, next section, was written by those who were eyewitnesses. Okay, next section there. And all were so impacted by what they saw that they were willing to be killed for their faith and die as, what was the word again?
Martyrs.
That's right. Okay. Now check this out. Some people would say, "How do you know the Bible? How do you know that the New Testament copies were true? That those letters were true?" So listen to this. I was doing some research on this, kind of getting ready for this class here. There were other historical documents that no one would ever say is wrong. They'd say, "Yeah, that's totally accurate." I think writings by Aristotle, there's 5 copies. Or a handful, no more than 5. Homer's the Iliad and the Odyssey, written like I think 500 BC, and there's about 700 copies of the Iliad. So the New Testament, all the copies that were made, There are 6,000 copies made in Greek and 21,000 made in other languages. And if you compare them all to each other, and you look to how much have those changed over the years? Is it Josh? No. Sorry, what was your name again? Was it?
Josiah.
Okay. If you looked at those copies and looked at them and compared them, do you know how close they are? They're less than 1% different. And the differences are there. Almost all of them are like this. Men spoke from God as they, like they put two as's.
Why?
Or, no, I'm just saying when they copied them, they made a mistake. Like, those are the errors, that they used the word twice. Or moved along by T-E-H, and not like T-H-E. Like, those are the errors where they're different. But otherwise, they're totally identical. They're only at a little, there's a few little variations, and they're just like minor, they don't mean anything in terms of difference. So 21,000 copies all say exactly the same thing. And then some few hundred years ago, the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, you ever heard of that? And they compared them, and they're also exactly the same as the originals. Like, literally, they have never changed from when the apostles wrote them. And when did the apostles write the letters? Most of the New Testament was written about 20 to 30 years after Jesus. So they're still fresh, totally fresh in their eyes. Okay. Write this down here. Old Testament prophets were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Many had incredible encounters with God, where they heard God's voice audibly, not just like a voice in your head or kind of like a thought. They heard him speak audibly. Do you guys remember stories of people in the Bible that actually had like crazy experiences with God? Mm-hmm. Hands up if you remember somebody's experience. Yeah, go ahead.
What?
Calvin, go ahead. Do you remember some? Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, do you remember who that was? You remember them, but do you remember their names and who they were? Okay. You remember any guys that like God talked to them or... Yeah, I think you're right.
I think it was Daniel.
Okay, Daniel. God totally gave him like, yeah, massive... Actually, wasn't it... Daniel had Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, come.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Joseph, he basically asked God for an angel instead.
Joseph and Mary, yeah, right, exactly. They had visions of angels coming to them, yeah.
Moses and David.
Yeah, Moses, God, says God, that's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. God talked to Moses like you and I could talk right now. How you doing, Moses? Yeah, just like that. And then Daniel, David as well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, all those guys saw Jesus himself type thing, yeah. Jonah, right, he has God talk to him and tell him, go to Nineveh, and tell him they're going to be destroyed.
Oh, yeah.
He decides to say no. And then God, okay, now you're away. You're the whale. Okay, so then, look at this. The first written words of the Bible. I love Pastor Jeff put this together. I like it. The actual first words of the Bible were actually written down by God himself. Do you remember a story where God came and actually wrote words on something?
Nope.
Yep.
When he was making the world?
Well, I guess figuratively speaking, you could. It's an actual story, though, where he actually was writing something, yeah? Yeah, the Ten Commandments. Calls Moses up to Mount Sinai. Yes. He actually like chisels out these tablets, like God himself, and Moses probably watching this going like, this is crazy. This is another story, right? No, we'll get to it. One second. So he's actually writing on the tablet the Ten Commandments from Moses, and then Moses takes these back and is like, oh my goodness, that was a good day. What's that? No, he didn't see God. Good question.
I forget what it's called, but this one where his head is running
on the wall. Yeah, I was thinking too. Daniel. Yeah, exactly, Daniel. You've been weighed in the balance. Uma Ferris or something like that. You've been weighed in the balance. And balance wanting. Yeah, exactly. So, what did he write? The Ten Commandments, right?
Wow.
And since then, all these manuscripts, now you've got it printed. Around the 1500s, they could actually print it like this. Back then, everything was handwritten. And they've been very carefully preserved. The original actual documents and stuff are very, very carefully preserved.
What did that
mean? Like protected, put in like sealed rooms with no oxygen so they won't like deteriorate and things like that. The actual manuscripts are very, very brittle. I had a friend of mine, she's doing her master's and stuff, and she's being trained to handle old ancient documents. You have to just do it in special ways, in special rooms, not too much light, not too much moisture in the room, and very like careful. They totally disintegrate in front of you. What's that? They're light and brittle. Yeah, I'll keep going. I'll get after. The Bible is accurate historically, okay? It also matches history. If you look at other books that people have written about how the world happened, and armies, and the Syrians, and the Israelites, and Egypt, and the pharaohs, and all that, it matches up. The Bible matches up with the stories. I remember one scholar talking about the ruins of, you know, the walls of Jericho?
Yeah.
And you can go to those places and actually you can see where the walls actually collapsed, and actually there's evidence that they showed that walls came down and stuff like that. It'll show, I think Pastor Jeff has some, like, pictures there. I think he mentioned some, too, here. Yeah, the actual location of the temple. My in-laws actually went to Jerusalem and saw all locations and stuff like that. And what I thought is really cool, the Bible also... the only book that has been accurate prophetically. Does anyone know what that means, like prophetic? Hand up if you think you got. You take a guess. What does it mean if something's like prophetic? What prophetic kind of means basically is this, like God's constantly foretelling the future in here, and it always comes to pass. So basically, it's accurate. So I did some research here, and I was looking this up, but I wonder if I can see it on here. I think I can. Let me see if I can. Nah. I was looking at all the different things in the Bible that were said, you know, like hundreds of years ago, that actually came true. I was looking at Jesus was going to be born in Bethlehem, hundreds of years before, born in Bethlehem. He was going to be born of a virgin. He was going to be called Emmanuel. He was going to be called a Nazarene. He was also going to grow up in Egypt. It goes on and on. There were 343 different things in the Old Testament written like hundreds of years before Jesus that Jesus fulfilled every single one of them. And if you look at actually all the prophecies in the Bible, approximately 2,000 things have happened. That said, this is going to happen in hundreds of years from now. 2,000 of them have already happened. I think it's another 300 or so, or something that's still have to happen kind of thing. Like, there's, like, tons. So it's not just made up. Okay. Moving on to the last section. Learning what God has revealed. So here we have this Bible. We can trust that it's accurate. Thousands of copies, all the same. So it wasn't changed. Prophecies tell us, and they're all happening. This thing's... can rely on it. So now we have God's written words, actual things written down what God said or did. Now, how do we use this? What do we do with the Bible? Is it just something that's great for people like up here that are teaching you, or people in universities, or can we actually use it ourselves? So first, write this down. The Bible is like our spiritual food.
It makes me hungry.
Makes me hungry, yeah. Who brought... what we did last year too was pretty cool. People like just bring donuts sometimes, yeah. Stuff like that. Yeah, or just like cookies or whatever. Everybody like has them. It was kind of nice. So I'm just a hint, suggesting, throwing it out there. Whatever you want to do with that.
Donuts.
Okay, the Bible, the Word of God, is like our spiritual food. Jesus one time said that man, remember this one? Man does not live on bread alone, but by what? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It literally is like our food. When God talks, it's our food. Okay, a question? Is the question along the same thing or something different? If it's different, we'll come back to it after. Is that okay? Okay, cool. So, it's absolutely critical for our spiritual life and learning what God has revealed. We need to maintain a healthy meal of the Bible of at least one chapter a day. This is not a rule, not like one or one and a half or this many verses, but basically, Pastor Jeff wrote this down, basically every day. If you remember that, like when Jesus said the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And Jesus said, our bread is your word. Like every day, give us your word. Consider eating your spiritual food before any physical food every day in the morning. Our physical hunger can be used to remind us of our spiritual hunger. So what would it be like if you would not eat for like a week? Good or bad?
You would die.
He would die. You remember when I was sick about 2 years ago almost now?
Yeah.
Okay, and I was in the hospital, right? And I was like totally supposed to die and everything. I know that story, right? I was in the hospital bed there, and I was hooked up with tubes and stuff, but I couldn't eat because I was unconscious, and they're feeding me through these like tubes. You probably all see like still like the little scar in there. Yeah. See it?
Yeah.
Little scar. It's a little tube going into there, and they're feeding me also intravenously and stuff. The problem is I'm a pretty big guy, and they can't give enough food that way to ever sustain you. So in a span of 3 weeks, I lost, in just those few weeks, I lost like 30-something pounds. About 35 pounds. And I couldn't, when I woke up and came to, I couldn't even lift my arm above my head. Like, I was that weak, and my muscles had gone that weak in 3 weeks. And I couldn't even, like, actually lift my left hand, like, above my head. And that's how weak and tired it was. I still remember this one time. They'd give you, like, I couldn't get out of the bed. I was, like, totally, like, immobilized because of my leg and stuff. And I was so weak. So they gave me the little baby wipes to, like, just kind of clean yourself. Like, that was my shower, you know. It was just kind of, like, wiping myself down. I remember, like, the one lady came. She's going to, like, the nurse. And she came to, like, bring the waste paper basket to me. She's just going to bring it to my bed just so I could kind of put the thing in the thing. And I was like, no, I got this. I put out sports. I like basketball. Who likes basketball?
Oh,
I don't. So I'm like, no. I got this. So she kind of keeps it there, probably where that table is right there, kind of, like, just right by the computer, maybe right there.
Oh.
And I'm like, yes. And I go, oh, yeah, no problem. I got this. I'm like, you know, get a good shot. And I go, I throw it. And it lands by my knees. That's how weak I was. I couldn't even throw it, like, just barely down to there kind of thing. And that's when I was like, okay, wow, I am really weak here. So only in three span of 3 weeks, my body just shrunk down because I wasn't eating. Imagine what your spirits do inside if they don't feed on Jesus, so to speak. Like, if you're not getting his word and you're praying, they shrink. They shrivel. And they'd be fed. They're totally like that. Okay? So I actually, let me tell you something that I do every single day. Every day. I've actually got an app on my phone.
Right?
Yeah. But I read the Bible. I've got an app on my phone. I've got my iPad as well. I'll go downstairs. And I've got just a room that I go in. And it's got like a whole bunch. It's got some Psalms that David wrote and different things. And then it's got like some Old Testament scripture. It's got like Hebrew, actually this one's out of Hebrews today, and I read this morning, and another one then on the actual, like, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. And every day, I'll go like this, and I'll open it up, or I'll get my iPad, where I do most of my Bible reading, got like a study Bible on there, and I'll just read his Bible. So I'll tell you what I read this morning. And I'll tell you actually what I do. This is what I do, okay? You can do what you want. I'll tell you what I do. And in a moment, I'm actually going to lead us in a little bit of prayer, okay? I think it'll be like something we haven't done before, and it's like super powerful. So I'll do this. I'll read the word out loud, okay? As the Lord reigns, he is robed in majesty. This is Psalm 93. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength like his belt. The world is established and it'll never be moved. And your throne is established from old. You're the everlasting God. And I keep going and I just kind of read through all the scriptures. But what I'll do is I'll like kind of stop and pray. So this morning, I remember, I had something kind of like difficult happen this week. Something that really bothered me. Something with work and stuff. And someone said some things that really bothered me. I'm kind of like, God, like, help me deal with this right. And so I was thinking, the Lord reigns. He's robed in majesty. And I kind of just start talking and be like, the Lord reigns. Like, God, you reign. Like, you're the boss. You're the king. Would you please help me in this situation? Like, would you please? You know, this kind of thing. And I'll just kind of pray it. So, what I'd like to do is I'd actually like you guys to turn to Psalm 23.
Oh.
I'm going to teach you an ancient way of praying. Psalm 23.
Is it in the New Testament?
Old Testament. Oh, yeah? Oh, nice. Psalm 23, very, very famous psalm in the Bible.
Can I read it?
We're going to read it together, kind of like by ourselves. Together by ourselves. you not have a Bible? Just Psalm 23.
6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1. 6:1.
sometimes you read your Bible, it kind of feels like it's just a little bit boring. Let's be honest. No, a little boring. Or do you feel sometimes like kind of when you read it, you're kind of like, I don't get what that means. Yeah. Or do you ever kind of pray sometimes and go like, I don't even remember what I kind of just read there. You ever do that? You read through it and you're like, I don't even know what I just read.
Yeah, I've done that.
Okay, it's like, check, read my Bible. What'd you read? No idea. Okay, remember any of it? Nope. I don't know if that's helping too much. Good habit, but... So, what I'd like to do is an ancient way of reading the Bible. It's like Lectio Divina, it's called. Like reading the Bible out loud. I'm going to kind of show you a little variation of that. And that would basically be doing this. Maybe I'll probably more phrase is meditation. You ever heard that word meditation? Meditate? Yeah. Do you know? If you do you know what the word meditate means?
Right.
Actually, it's actually like to...
Yeah.
Well, if you... Yeah.
It's sort of like to be calm.
Yeah, that'd be like a more modern
self-control,
translation. Yeah.
But kind of what she said, calm.
Calm, focus. Yeah. Yeah, it's fun. It actually comes from the word, actually to mutter. It's actually out loud, I believe. Meditate is to actually mutter out loud. Another one that translations I've heard also as well is to chew on kind of thing. Almost like a cow, like chews on food, he kind of chews on it. So what we'll do is this. I want your hands up here. I want you to read the very first verse, just the first verse. No more. Just the very first verse in Psalm 23, by yourself, quietly. And just read it. And I think it says, here in your translation, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hands up, tell me what that might mean or what you think of when you read that. Count.
I go to a Catholic school and we read that every day.
Okay. What does that kind of mean? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What are some things that come to mind? Anything at all comes to mind.
Like, if you have God, you probably should not want more.
Okay,
like,
so
more, like, stuff. Because you have God, that's all you really need.
Okay, so God's all I need, yeah.
I shall not have idols.
Okay, so I don't want anything else besides God, yeah. What else? Thoughts?
I shouldn't want to be greater, or I shouldn't want him not to be my king.
Okay, so be content with just him, yeah.
God will provide for
me. I think lots of them there. I shall not be want or I shall not lack anything. Yep.
I should never eat candy again.
Never ever eat. No. No. The problem is, like, no, I couldn't say that myself.
I can't.
Any other ones?
I can't say that.
Lord's my shepherd.
Shall not.
What's a shepherd like? What's a shepherd like? What's a shepherd like? Yep.
Guides a sheep.
Guides a sheep. What are they like? Their personality. Okay, they're going to protect the sheep. The Lord's my shepherd. He's going to protect me. Yeah. You forgot? Yeah.
I sort of have an example.
Okay.
Like, it's a story of the 100, like, 100 sheep. One goes missing. So the shepherd leaves his 99 behind and goes for the other one.
I love it. Remember Jesus told that story? Like, a good shepherd had 100 sheep and one goes missing. What does a good shepherd do? Does he just go, well, that sucks, too bad, eh? Oh, well, I got 99, that's pretty good. That's pretty good, I'll get some money for that. Nope. Leaves the 99 safe, make sure they're cared for. Goes off, finds the one. Good. And that's our shepherd, right? That's the Lord to us. If we get lost, we'll go a little straight. He's going to search after us. What else is a good shepherd like? Or what's a bad shepherd like? What would a bad shepherd be like? Yeah.
So, when it comes to sheep, means, like,
Yeah. Oh, well. Yeah. I told them not to go over that cliff, but they did, so you know what? Suck it up. That's what. You're on your own, you know? Yeah, bad shepherds. What are bad shepherds?
It's like you have 100 sheep and like 50 go missing. Like, well, I have half of that. That's okay.
Yeah. Here's a bad shepherd. How about this? Remember David? David was a shepherd, right? Yeah. What happened when the bear came to try to steal some of the sheep?
That's what yeah. I was gonna say.
What were you gonna say that? I'm sorry, you stop. You say it.
I was gonna say a bad shepherd would, if a bear came or something, he would just run off.
Yeah. He'd be like, wow, crap. That bear's big.
I'm gonna run away.
I wouldn't want to be a sheep right now, that's for sure. Glad I'm not one of those sheep there, man. Yep.
Well, that's hard for you.
If he's, hungry, then he'll be like, sheep, take care of yourself. I'm going to go get some hot dogs.
Totally, you guys are hungry. Yeah, exactly, you guys are hungry. Get that down my sandwich here.
Oh, there's some worms. I let her go.
Exactly. I think I don't want to be a shepherd. I want to be an accountant. Yeah. Yeah, some bad shepherds actually eat their sheep. They want to eat their sheep. They use them just for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Or sometimes I mean.
So is our Lord like that?
No.
No.
He doesn't want to eat us.
He doesn't want to eat us, exactly. He wouldn't taste very good. He knows that. No.
He doesn't want to eat us.
Yeah, he's a good shepherd. So what happens if you're going through and the friend of yours really bugs you or makes you upset? Does he care about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a good shepherd. What happens if you're like, you're hungry and stuff? Is he going to care about that?
Yeah.
Sure. Physically or spiritually. What happens if you're really sad? Does he care about that?
Yes.
Yeah. He's a good shepherd. So right now, close your eyes. Please. Close your eyes. And this is how I do it. If I read the Bible, I pray at the same time. I'll read like one verse or something. Something stands out to me. I'm like, oh, wow, that's good. So right now, I want you to think about God as your shepherd. Just think about that. You might picture him as your shepherd. You might think about, you know, you could think of a situation right now in your life that's kind of frustrating. It could be like a brother or sister. It could be a friend. It could be something you're not very good at. You don't feel very pretty. Or you don't feel like you're not very good at sports or whatever, you know? Close your eyes. Just by yourself. And just think about. Oh, eyes closed. Eyes closed. And you're just thinking about that. Now I want you to see Jesus as your shepherd. And what do you think he would say to you? Or care about you? No? And you could actually ask him, Jesus, what? You're my good shepherd. You could actually just tell him. You just tell him, say, Jesus, I just thank you for being a good shepherd. Thanks, Lord, for taking care of me and never leaving me. Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Just like a good shepherd. I'll never leave you. You're never going to be alone. Never by yourself. And then think of the next part of that verse says, I will not be in want. I won't lack a thing. Anything I need, he's going to give it to me. And just talk to him about that. Just tell him, like, ask him, what's anything you need right now in your life? Ask him just to provide it. He's your shepherd. For some of you, it could be your parents are fighting. I'd like you right now to take your Bibles and just start reading by yourself, reading Psalm 23, go a little bit further down, until something kind of like jumps out at you. Something is like, I don't know why, but that verse, that word, that something is, there's something about that, I don't know what that is. And then, pray about it. Think about it, pray about it. This is totally private, there's no talking, not looking at anybody else. This is you and God and his word. If you get to the bottom of the verses and nothing stood out, go back and read it again. This is how I love. This is like one of my favorite times. No, this is my favorite time of the day. This is when I do this with God. I'm praying the Bible, reading the Bible, praying at the same time. I love it. Like I feel good with the Spirit and love it. So
And you just read normally. Something's going to like, huh, word, that verse, something's going to pop out of you and be like, I don't know what it is, but that just means something to me right now. How many of you, hands up, kind of had like a verse or something stick out to you? Just kind of like, I got there and I kind of paused. Hands up. Cool. Some of you willing to share? Just really, like, really quick kind of what it was, yeah?
I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff will comfort me.
Comfort me, yeah. And what, and why did that stick out to you? Sometimes, yes, sometimes it's hard to explain. It just did. Just like something about fear, that you don't have to fear kind of thing. Yeah, yeah, great, yeah.
Even though I walk through the valley of shadow and of death. Valley shadow of death.
Yeah. So even though I go through the hardest times in my whole life, how did that stick out to you? Kind of?
It just sort of calms me.
Calms you, yeah, because... You know, I can go through the worst time of my life, and he's with me. Love it. Yeah? Okay. Hey, go ahead.
Okay. To prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Okay, and how did that? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. How did that, like, impact you?
Love your enemies.
Right. So the Lord maybe is telling you, like, there's some people that are bugging you right now. Love them. Love them. Cool, yeah. You restore my soul. Can you tell me more about what that meant or felt? Hard to describe sometimes, but try.
It's hard to explain.
Hard to explain, but it just felt like that. It was like, he restores my soul. He actually is going to feed me. He's going to feed me. Yeah. Green grass. Cool. Yeah, now that makes you feel, or what do you think about that? He's got good things for you. He really wants to give you good things. Love it. Yeah. Yeah.
He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness. With his mercy.
Yeah. What does that mean?
Just kind of like he guides me. Even when I'm going through the hardest times, I'll still be with him. Therefore,
love it. You guys hear that? Say that again. Just a little loud. Mind know what you said.
Well, it kind of makes me feel like he's always with me, he's guiding me no matter what I'm going through.
Yeah. Or when I'm going through the hardest time, he's always with me and he's guiding me every step of the way. Isn't that comforting? Mm-hmm. Isn't that cool? Yeah, go ahead. Ask
mine me. Is for God to love the world. Yeah. Like he was, he gave his one and only son just for me, for everyone and for me, and it just feels good to hear that.
Yeah. Totally. How many of you have any kind of favorite Bible verses that kind of just like, man, I don't know why, but I keep, or how many of you have a favorite Bible character? A person, like, I love that story, or whatever. Often there's something that God's telling you in that story, you know? So, hands down, last thing I want to say today. The only thing I have to say to that is when you're reading the Bible, okay? Kind of words.
Yep.
When you're reading the Bible, okay, do you know, when I come with the Bible, I come expecting to meet with God. Like, I expect God's going to talk to me. It's not like I'm like, hey, God, like, I'm going to meet with you now. When I look at a verse, whatever, I think we did, and they go, oh, that's an awesome verse, I'm going to pray that. Don't just read it. Don't just read it because, like, you got a checklist. Okay, I read my two chapters, awesome. Like, read it.
like what we're doing right here, you're eating it. We're actually eating it. We're like, oh, that one, God, thanks. And you're praying it. You're chewing it. You're like, yeah, like that's meditate. That's eating it. And that's going to feed you. But the other way of skimming it is kind of like looking at a table of food. Wow, look at all those donuts or chocolate that you're going to bring next week. And look at all those like things, and you're looking at it, and then you're not actually eating it. Will that satisfy you at all?
No.
No. Will that go inside you?
No.
No, you got to eat it, right? So, cool, awesome. Great. Let's close our Bibles, and let's just close in prayer. And then I think we're done for today. Oh, yeah, and then we'll talk about the take-home assignments, okay?
Yep.
Yeah, I'll give you a second. Oh, yeah, we'll do that too.
Thanks, Father, for giving us your word. We know through history that like thousands of people, probably in thousands, would have died getting this word to us. They were martyred and killed, trying to get these words to us that we now take for granted. Now we've got Bibles everywhere on my phone. Thank you, Lord, for your precious word that came to the hand of your apostles and kept it passed down. I pray that we treat it royally, we wouldn't take it for granted. I pray that you teach every one of us to like feed on it. Every day, you actually nourish our soul, that you feed us through it. Thank you, Lord, for your truth. You didn't leave us like hanging to dry, but you've given us your word. So we thank you for that. We bless you with everyone here, that you help them cultivate their own prayer life and their own life, reading the Bible and actually meeting with you every day, or that you'd help and give them grace for that, to help them follow that in their own life. I pray that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Bruce, can I just try?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, guys, quick exercise. We're going to see. All right. I'm going to come to Bruce. Here it goes. Hey, Bruce. Got a great idea.
Okay, yeah.
I've been thinking.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. It hurt for a while.
Okay.
When that was done,
yeah.
An idea for him.
Okay, lay it on me.
I think Jeff could be God.
Oh.
Yeah. What do you guys think? You guys think Jeff could be God?
He's pretty good looking. God was good looking. Got the beard.
Okay, so... Okay, no, that's fine that you guys have your opinions and stuff.
But did you have
like, how would you know that?
Yeah, right.
You don't know that he's...
Remember, we were talking about this today, so like, how would you know? How are you going to know?
In the what?
Oh, it's in the...
Bible.
It's in the what?
Bible.
Oh. Okay, that's good.
But wait, didn't you get it from an angel? Like,
yeah, actually, because that was the other thing that I forgot about the vision I had.
Right.
It came from an angel.
Oh, that must make it true, though, right?
Yeah.
No.
Well, why not?
Did the angel look like me a little bit?
Wait a minute.
Wait, just a minute. Just remember, picture this.
That was it.
Okay, it was me.
Bruce.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about my idea.
Yeah.
You don't remember how I said Jeff was God?
Yeah.
Nope. Turns out he's an angel.
Cool. Alright, you end up being the teacher's
side. I think we already have.
Can you guys turn to your assignments? Turn to your assignments.
I just put it away.
Oh, you'll pick up one?
Yeah. I just put it away.
And let's just make sure that you understand it, okay? So week two assignments. Your first reading assignment is this. Read the following chapter and highlight any verses that stand out to you. We practiced that today. What does it look like? Yeah. Verses stand out to you. The book there is Acts. Does anybody know, hand up, who actually wrote the book of Acts? You can guess, doesn't matter. Fire away. One of the guys who wrote the Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. That's right. Remember who it was?
Matthew?
Nope, not Matthew.
John?
Not Mark.
you're narrowing
Matthew,
it down.
Not Mark.
Jeff?
He's not Jeff.
John?
Not Michael Jackson.
Luke.
It was actually Luke. It's actually the second half of Luke's story about Jesus, yeah? But it talks about the early church, first apostles. Your challenge is this. Research the history of the Nicene Creed. Okay? Or if you'd like, a recent archaeological find that supports the history of the Bible. Something cool they found out. Like, they dug up some tablet that said
something about David or whoever, like something that they kind of archaeology found, okay?
I have an idea for one of those.
Okay, cool.
I heard, I haven't explored this, so I don't know if this is true, but I heard they found
the Holy Grail
in the Red Sea. What do you think they would have found?
Red?
That supports the Bible. Something in the Red
Sea. What happened in the Red Sea?
Yeah. What happened in the Red Sea in the Bible?
A staff.
Does anybody remember the story where they were some people, yeah? What do you think?
A water one.
And what happened to the Red Sea when he did that? Yeah. Well, that was the Nile River. But that was you're on the right guy. After all that, the Red Sea is where they cross.
No, it's...
When God split the
ark. Chariots.
Yes.
The ark.
I heard they just found in the Red Sea a whole pile of remains of chariots. So you guys might, someone might want to look that one up, see if it's true. I don't know if it's true or not, but I just heard that.
Cool. Okay. And then your life challenge, the very last thing there, says begin the habit of daily reading God's word. Cool?
Yep.
Cool. Because you want to eat, because you don't want to shrivel up and be like me in a bed where you can't even like lift your arm above your head. All right. Turn to the beginning. We're going to read the Apostles' Creed one more time. Apostles' Creed. Let's stand up and do it together again.
I'm going to do it without it. I'm
going to
try. I'm
trying
to do it without it. I'm doing it. I'm not going to.
Okay, you guys ready? Apostles' Creed in front of you, beginning of your binder, unless you've already got it memorized.
No.
That's fine. Here we go. On the count of three.
Hold on. Does anyone know who's missing today? There's one person missing.
Angus?
No.
No.
Angus.
Does anybody notice a friend missing today that was here last week?
No.
Josiah's first day.
Anybody notice this who's missing? Okay.
Ellie?
I'll have to figure it out.
Ellie's on the left.
Ready?
Go ahead.
Okay, on the count of three. Three.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Have a great day, everybody. Have a great week.
I wonder if the other couple, just a couple, they got in your speech.
Tell them.